share with you a quote. It's kind of lengthy a little bit, but I've shared it before, but I really enjoy it, and it really has a relevance to tonight. It's about resolve. It's about resolve in our hearts and in our lives. And the credit on Google, at least when I Googled it, was given to Avery T. Willis, Jr. So if he came up with this, if he's the one, maybe he just stole it, I'm not sure. But if he did actually say it, he says some good stuff. Listen to what he said. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need prominence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Man, every time I read that or see that, it just kind of pumps me up a little bit. What a resolve. I have a question for you tonight, though. What is your resolve for the Lord? Don't answer out loud, but what is your resolve? Or I might say, how resolved are you to serve the Lord? Tonight we're talking about a God for all time. A God for all time. And I've subtitled it, A Psalm of an Old Man. A God for all time, a psalm of an old man. Psalm 71, if you turn to Psalm 71, we're going to look at this, and then we're going to end up talking about an old man's resolve, what he resolved for the Lord. Now, I think this applies to all of us, but I know that most here are a little bit older. Apologies to a few of the younger ones that are here tonight. But this psalm, I hope as we read it that you take it personal. And we're not going to cover every phrase in Psalm 71. There's 24 verses and there's so much there, but we're going to look at it from a certain perspective, a God for all time. And you'll notice as we read it, there are references, and that's what I want you to listen to as we read it, references to age, okay, and to time, all right? Pay real close attention. You going to do that? If you're going to do that, just give me a little nod. Okay, all right, Psalm 71. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing. With the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Now to me, when I read that psalm, boy, there's a lot there. I mean, seriously, I thought about several ways. I'm like, I was kind of overwhelmed with everything that was in this. I felt God said, okay, that's the psalm I want you to preach on. And I was like, man, I don't quite know how to cover all that, or how do I go about it? So the Lord gave me the idea that we're going to talk about a God of all time. And we're not going to talk about every single phrase, because we just really don't have the opportunity to do that tonight. Maybe God will bring me back and we'll talk about it again. I don't know. But a God for all time, a psalm of an old man. If you read this carefully, you'll get the impression that the writer of this psalm is an older guy. And as I read it, I read one commentary that said, you know, it could have been a Levite. It could have been written by a Levite who was a court musician. Because at the end, it ends basically, God, well, I'm going to play the harp, I'm going to play the psaltery, I'm going to sing it to the Lord. So someone who served in the temple of the Lord. It could have been. And it could have been, so you were 25 years old to 50 years old to serve in the temple. So maybe he was past that time, maybe he was nearing then. But I like the way he put several things in here. He remembers what happened in the past. He's living right here in the present, but he's also looking forward to the future. And tonight we're going to look at it from that perspective. Title again, A God for All Time, A Psalm of an Old Man. Point number one, A God of My Past. A God of My Past. Notice it says in verse 6, By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. You know, this older man, as he writes this psalm, is looking all the way back to his birth. Now, of course, he has no recollection of that. I don't know. I don't remember. Probably my first memory, probably they say maybe 4 or 5 years old is when your first memory typically is in your mind. But this psalmist said, you know what? But I know who brought me into the world. I know who formed me. I know who delivered me. I know the God that brought me into the world. So he says, I'm going to look back. And I'm going to look back at the birth. And it says, my praise shall be continually of thee. In verse 6, he says, after you brought me into the world, I'm going to praise you. You know, I remember when we, anybody that has a child, I mean, I don't know how in the world you could look at that newborn baby. I always brag about to the boys, I cut your umbilical cord. She's the one that did the real work. I just took out the scissors and cut the doctor with the doctor. I wouldn't even have done that if the doctor not been there saying, hey, you want to cut the umbilical cord? I'm like, sure. But, you know, that was one of the things I bragged to the boys, you know, like that was really something. Yeah, I cut the umbilical cord. But, you know, anybody that sees a newborn baby, how in the world can you think that just happened? How in the world can you think that this God has just kind of run away by itself and here's a baby, you know, you're there counting fingers and, you know, that baby is perfectly formed. I know there's some babies that are born deformed and nothing against that, but I'm saying the baby that God has given to you is a miracle, is a work of God. And the psalmist in his older age is saying, hey, guess what? God brought me forth. Praising God for it. And then not only as part of his past does he mention his birth, but he also recollects his youth. Look at verse 5. It says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. From my youth. Verse 17. He says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. So it sounds like this person, this older gentleman who is writing this psalm, is remembering his youth. And he's saying in verse 5 in particular, I've trusted in you from my youth. As a young person, I've trusted in you. And then in verse 17, basically, ever since then, it says, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. So it seems like it might have become real to him that God is real when he was a youth. I trusted Jesus when I was 11. Now, I'm not sure the terminology here when it says youth. I mean, I'm not sure that anywhere in Scripture it says or anybody could even be authoritative on it and say, well, youth was exactly this age. But from a young age, this psalmist is saying, guess what? I've trusted in you. And guess what? I've declared your wondrous works. You know, it's wonderful when a young person trusts Jesus as their Savior. Now, we're of course, translating that up to modern day time. When someone trusts Jesus and what he did on the cross for them, when the seven or so young gentlemen prayed to receive Jesus, what, last Thursday? Thursday? Was it last Thursday? Boy, time's going by fast. Last Thursday when we fed them and we shared the gospel and seven of them, it was interesting to me. This was a good sign that seven of them raised their hands that they were lost. And then I shared and said, how many would like to pray this prayer? And I prayed with them and I said, how many prayed that prayer? The same ones raised their hand. I prayed that prayer. So there was a recognition that they were lost. And I hope sincerely from their heart, there was a call out to God. And they can say and look back at that time. And I can look back at 11 when I trusted Jesus and say, you know what, from my youth, I've trusted the Lord. Boy, what a blessing that is. You have a full life of service to the Lord. I love it when old people get saved. I love it when middle-aged people get saved. I love it when teenagers get saved. But the younger, the better. Because whenever they understand, I know some of the little ones don't understand yet, but when they get to the point they can understand it, I don't know exactly what the age of accountability is. I think it's dependent upon the child. When they get to the point that they can understand and they trust Jesus as their Savior, that's grand because they got a whole life to dedicate to the Lord and how God can save them from so many things. As we've said many times, you know, those of us that have trusted the Lord and served the Lord, tried to faithfully through the years, I don't have this huge, you know, this tear-jerking testimony about all the things I've come out of and all the sins that I've... My testimony is God kept me from an awful lot of bad stuff. And the psalmist looks back, says, God brought me into the world and I trusted him as a youth. And I've declared, it sounds like to me when it says, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Ever since I leaned upon God as a youth, I've been declaring that, his wondrous works. A God for all time, a psalm of an old man. First of all, a God of my past. Secondly, a God of my future. A God of my future. Look at verses 20 to 21. God of my future. You know, when you get older, what do you think more about? Now, I know there's a lot of answers to that question. Sometimes you say, I think more about my aches and pains. I think more about how hard it's going to be to do what I have to do because I just don't move as fast as I used to, you might say. But one thing I believe that most people, when they get older, start to think about a little bit more is death. Right? Now, you know, death is just as much a part of life as birth is. And any other part. It's going to happen. If the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to die. I'm still voting for the rapture. How many of you vote to go up in the rapture instead of die? Okay, I believe it's almost unanimous for everybody that was paying attention. All right, good. But, Lord, we just butt passed it, so it's up to you. But it's good to know that the Lord is with us, even in death. As the psalmist wrote, he's a God of my future. Notice verse 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble. I've had a lot of troubles in my life. You hear older people sometimes talking about that. You know, they walk to school uphill both ways for 13 miles. And they say, oh, I've had all kind of bad stuff and all kind of things happen in my life. And the psalmist is saying that, you know, I've had great and sore troubles. But guess what? Thou, which has showed me great and sore trouble, shall quicken me again. You know what quicken means? Make alive. Wow. And shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Kind of sounds like the Lord's going to take him and resurrect him back to life, don't you think? I know there's some different ideas about exactly what's being said here, but I think a very plausible, a very possible, and I'd say probably the probable interpretation of this is God is going to make me alive again. Verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. If there's one word I would use to describe heaven, it would be comfort. So the psalmist, this old fellow, is writing this psalm. We don't know how old he was, but he says, you know what? I remember the God of my past. He brought me into the world. He was my God from my youth, and I proclaimed him and told about his marvelous works ever since. Secondly, a God of my future. I think it's important for an older person to know that God is in charge of life, that God will bring us back to life. I'm talking about the physical body because we really never die, soul and spirit. It's an eternal thing. And when we breathe our last, as I told the folks there at Dottie Riffle's funeral or graveside, when she breathed her last, it's graduation day. I mean, it's just like, hey, I'm going home. Open your eyes in heaven. Close your eyes here. Open your... that's what I've been praying this lately. I've said, Lord, I clarify very carefully, Lord, when it's my time to go, I pray that you'll just help me die in my sleep. As our pastor down in Twin Rivers, his mother-in-law, she was quite a character. I mean, in a good way. She said something like it. She couldn't figure out. She said she thought something about she prays or she hopes or something that she just goes to sleep one night and wakes up dead. That's an interesting way to put it. Wakes up dead. But, you know, as you get older, we think about these things a little bit more. And sometimes the doctors help us out in that area too, right? Because they say, you know what, we found this wrong, we found that wrong. You get one thing fixed and say, something else wrong. And some of you say amen to that. But as this older man writes, he says, guess what? It's not only the God of my past, he's the God of my future. He's going to bring me back to life. He's going to quicken me. I'm thankful for that. And then the bodies we got, you've heard me talk about that, they're going to be good bodies. I mean, they're not going to be bodies that get old. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 talks about our incorruptible body, right? No longer mortal. It seems to me that he's talking about from death to resurrection to comfort. That God's there with me. A God for all time. A psalm of an old man. Number one, a God of my past. Number two, a God of my future. Number three, a God of my present. A God of my present. He says in verse 7, now this is a little bit of speculation on my part. But it says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. That word wonder is like a portent, P-O-R-T-E-N-T, something, a sign or a wonder. I wonder if this guy could be like really old. And people are like, man, you're old. Or maybe just through what he'd gone through, it could be. But he's saying, I'm basically a sign unto many, but you're my strong refuge. And I know when you read some of this, it's kind of like, is he saying just when I get old, or is he saying that I am old? Well, he says in verse 9, he says, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now I know that could be taken probably either way. You say, well, maybe he's saying he's old, or just don't forsake me when I do get old. But then you read on, and it says, for mine enemy, now it switches to present, for my enemies speak against me now. And they that lie wait for my soul take counsel together now, saying, God hath forsaken him. He's an old man. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. He can't rise up in his strength and defend himself. And he says, oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. So I kind of think the way it's termed and the tense, it's like, yeah, I'm old now, right now. Old age. Verse 18. He said, I'm old now, in my old age. Lord, be my God, protect me. Verse 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. So again, right now, I believe this guy, this psalmist, is an old man. And he says, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. But you know, the part I really want to emphasize is kind of where I started. You know, we know that our God is a God of all time. We know that this is a psalm of an old man, presumably. We see that a God of my past is our God. He's a God of our past. He's the God of the past of this psalmist. He's a God of his future because he's going to resurrect him back to life and comfort him. But thirdly, a God of my present. You know, he said, I'm old. When I'm old and gray-headed, this and that, and it sounds like it's right now. But what I really like is this old guy has resolved. You know, one of the worst things that can happen to a Christian who's older is just give up. And even, you know, you may be thinking physically give up, but I'm talking about spiritually give up. Spiritually give up. I think a lot of times we get this all backwards. Really, we do. Do you realize that someone who is older in their faith, someone who has the gray hair, someone who's been around a while, ought to be serving God in ways even greater than the younger people. Now don't misunderstand me. Because I know you don't have the energy or the strength, but you should have the maturity. One of the worst things I think in churches that we do, I'll kind of get on a little soapbox rabbit trail for a moment, but I think in our churches, one of the worst things we do is disciple the younger people in our church. The Bible talks about the older women teaching the younger women, and the older men ought to be teaching the younger men. Do you see that happening in our churches? Not too often. I mean, I know we have teachers. We have good Sunday school teachers, Bill and John, and for the younger kids, Robin and Linda, and I thank the Lord for them. But as far as kind of the older men taking the younger, new saved guys under their wing, so to speak, you know, that's a very biblical principle. But you don't see that happening. I remember one church I pastored, I was teaching through this, and it was mainly young couples, and I invited different older couples to come in and give us some wisdom. I finally got, I think, one couple or one guy to come in and say a little bit. I couldn't get anybody else to come in. They're like, oh, I don't know. I can't say anything. And I mean, some of it, of course, you should be somewhat modest and not think you have all the answers. But what ought to be happening in our churches, the older guys ought to be teaching and modeling and discipling the younger guys. And I've never seen it happen in churches the way it even gets close to where it should. So that's a little bit of a rabbit trail, but it I think illustrates what we need to be doing. But don't ever think, I'm going to retire from God's service. There is no such thing as retiring from God's service. Now, I know as well as you do that sometimes things have to change a little bit. You don't have the energy. You can't do the same ministry perhaps. But it ought not be a ceasing of ministry. It ought to be, let's change direction here a little bit. Right? And so many times I've said this before. I hope it's beginning to kind of resonate in there a little bit. Rather than saying, you know what, I've heard this so many times. I'm just getting old. I'm just going to let some young people take over for me. That sounds good in theory, okay? But right now, just kind of look around. There's not a great super number of young people to take over, number one. And number two, wouldn't it be good if you'd stick around and disciple that young person and show them how it's really supposed to be done and work together at least for a while until you can no longer do it? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? I see in this psalmist right here a resolve. It wasn't like, I'm giving up, Lord. I'm just giving it up. I'm old and gray and decrepit. Now, again, I'm not a spring chicken. I hit the big 6-0 back in March. And I know some of you are going, oh, well, let's just play the violin. Let's just cry me a handful because I'm so... I understand that. I get that completely. But I'm not 25 years old or 22 or fresh out of Bible college. I've been around a little while myself, and I feel those aches and pains too. So I think instead of belly aching that we're getting old for God, we ought to have the maturity to keep on serving God. Amen. And I don't, as I read this psalm, I don't see someone down in the dumps. I see someone, praise God for looking after me and all those times that I've gone through. He's my rock. He's my stronghold. He's my refuge. He's my good God. He was there at my beginning. He was there at my youth. And by golly, he's still there at my old age. Amen. I mean, do you know what a blessing you could be as an older person? And I know some of you are. I look around, I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. Some of you don't know how much I pray that God keeps giving you health and strength because I don't know what we'd do without you. Seriously, I'm not joking about that. I mean, I really pray, Lord, just keep them going because we need them. But you know what? Old age is not an excuse. Old age is not time to retire on God. Old age is not a time to say, well, it's time for the younger generation. Yeah, the younger generation ought to step up, but give them time to get here. Then let them step up, all right? So just keep on doing what you know to do is right. But I see resolve in this guy. I see resolve. Notice, I titled this point, The Resolve of One Old Man. Notice in verse 14. He says, he's gone through this and saying how people are after him and how they want to, they think he's weak and they're going to come and mess with him and hurt him and all that. But he says in verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Notice it didn't say less and less. I mean, if you can't do anything else, you can praise God. If you can't do anything else, you can pray to God, right? I mean, I get it. I understand some people don't have their mind. They have that awful disease called dementia and Alzheimer's. That's not even in the same category of what I'm talking about, okay? But as long as you got mind, as long as you have strength, as long as you have ability, even as an older person, just keep on serving God. He said, I will hope continually. Continually. That sounds like to me like around the clock. I'm just going to keep hoping in God. I'm going to keep on trusting in God. I'm going to keep on leaning on God. And will yet praise thee, not less and less, more and more. Resolve. Verse 18. It says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Notice this. Notice this resolve. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. That kind of goes along with what he's talking about, the older disciple and the younger, right? Just let me stick on this in this world. Help me to stick in this church. Help me to stick serving you until I have showed your strength to this younger generation. Wow. What a privilege that is to show them. You say, well, they don't want to hear it. Well, there's some that want to hear it. And there's a whole bunch that need to hear it. That our God is strong, our God is good, our God is real, our God is eternal. And we have the opportunity. Not only do I want to show them thy strength to this generation, I want to show thy power to everyone that is to, everyone that is to come. That's resolve. That's the resolve of an old man. He says, you know what? I'm going to hope continually. I want to make sure, he says in verse 14, that I praise you more and more. He says in verse 18, I want to pass everything I know down to the next generation about the Lord. I want to show him your strength. I want to show him your power. But then lastly, verses 22 to 24, you know what he says? I'm going to keep on making music. You know, I appreciate the people that are in the choir that got a few years on you. I assure you that some of you, when you're out there and you look up here and you just for a moment just sit down in those nice comfortable seats and look up there and say, oh, golly, I forgot the choir today. And you're thinking, I really should be up there. And if I don't go up there, somebody's going to say something to me. And I practice Wednesday, so I should be up there. And then so you just kind of get a hold of that seat in front of you. One thing about it, these seats, as far as I know, will hold you. So you can grab on the front one and pull it, and you get up there and you sing. You're being just like the old psalmist right here. Because notice what he says. Again, he could have been someone who was a musician as a Levite in the temple. But notice what he says in verses 22, 23, and 24. I will also praise thee with the psaltery. You say, what psaltery? That's the opposite of peppery, right? You got... Not exactly. It's a special kind of harp, from what I gather. It's a harp in the harp family. Okay, it says I'm gonna play the harp for you. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I what sing. You know, I'm sure that some people say, you know, my voice is not strong as it used to be. That's all right. As long as you got voice, we can use you up there in the choir, right? It says, with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. So, two different types of harp, but I'm going to play music for you. I'm going to sing for you. And then it says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. I'm not going to be an old sirepuss up there in the choir. I'm going to rejoice and praise God when I sing. And my soul, which thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. We can talk about everything under the sun, but this old guy said, I'm going to talk about the goodness of God. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. A God for all time, a psalm of an old man. Number one, he's a God of my past. He brought me into the world. He's been my God since my youth. He said, it's also a God of my future. Guess what? He's gonna resurrect me back to life and comfort me. I'm thankful for that. That this world isn't all there is. And thirdly, a God of my present. A God of my present. I really think he's saying I'm an old guy. You might still leave and say, I'm not convinced. That's fine, but I think the guy's an old guy writing this psalm. And I think he's saying, you know what? Through all of this stuff, as I've been young and I've been old, you know, God is still there. God is still there with me. And he has a resolve, just like that resolve that I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to shut up until the Lord comes back. Remember that resolve from the very beginning? We can have that same resolve like this psalmist. He said, you know what, I'm going to hope continually and more tell people. It says in verse 14, more and more praise thee. And then he says, you know what? In verse 18, he's basically saying, let me live so I can pass all I know and show your strength and your power to the next generation. Resolve. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to play you music on instruments and I'm going to sing to you. Resolve of an old fella. So, a God of all time, a psalm of an old man, a God of my past, a God of my future, a God of my present. And as I look around, like I said, most fit into the category of hate to be mean. Older. How's that? Older. God bless the younger ones. We can all learn from this as well. But I want you to remember tonight. You say, what can I take home with me? I want you to remember all that God has done for you. You know, when we forget, that's when we get in trouble. We just need to remember all that God has done. But preacher, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is bad. Yeah, absolutely. We're living in this whole sinful world, aren't we? And we're sinners, right? And the devil's real. So we're going to have a lot of bad stuff, but I guarantee if you think about it long enough, the good stuff outweighs the bad stuff, and that good stuff comes from God. So remember all that God has done for you. He brought you into the world, and if you know Jesus, you can remember when he saved you. So remember all that God has done for you. Look toward the future with hope. Look toward the future with hope. Because guess what? We have a very bright future. If you know Jesus, we have nothing but life to look forward to. When you were saved, you were given everlasting life. That means you'll never die. And we have a resurrection where we get a brand new body. So look toward the future with hope. Remember all that God has done for you in the past. Look toward the future with hope. And thirdly, live now fully to the Lord. Resolve that you're not going to quit. As long as there is breath, as long as there is life, you're going to do all you can for the Lord. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I don't know, if God has spoken to your heart tonight at all about resolve in particular, and you just feel compelled to talk to the Lord about it, and you maybe perhaps feel compelled that you need to be more resolved, that you're going to do your best as long as God gives you life and God gives you breath, would you just take a moment and talk to him about it? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 71. Lord, we've called it a psalm of an old man. Lord, we thank you for putting that in your Bible. Lord, help us all to take encouragement from that. And Lord, regardless of how old we are, may we resolve in our hearts and minds that we're going to do our best for you. Lord, we're going to remember all the things that you've done for us. We're going to remember the future and think about the future. And Lord, right now, we're going to resolve and do our best and keep on serving you as long as you give life and breath. Lord, we love and thank you. We praise you for all that you do for us.